Praise God. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, praise God. How many glad for the day the Lord saved you? How many glad for the day he raised you up? How many glad for the day that he transferred you out of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of his dear son? Anybody glad about that? Anybody glad your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Anybody glad about that? I tell you, the day it gets old that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, we need a new dip or something. We need something because that should never get old to a believer. Amen. Glory to God. Eternity has really already begun on the inside of us. Those of us who are believers, eternity's already started. Glory to God. And either Jesus is going to come back and lift us up in the clouds or we'll slip out of this body, but eternity's already begun for us. Praise God. And the future is bright. Amen. You have your Bible from the book of Hebrews tonight, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, those first three verses. Hebrews chapter 12, those first three verses. While you're turning to Hebrews, boy, I tell you, we have such anointed worshipers and musicians. They're all worshipers, the musicians and the frontline singers. Would you give them all a big hand? They folks just anointed, just came anointed, ready to lead us right into the presence of God, and we appreciate them. I'm reading from the New American Standard, if you will. Father, we thank you for the word. Now, your word is alive and full of power. Father, tonight, as we approach the word, we do so with a reverence. We do so with an awe, knowing that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. One day heaven and earth will pass away, but not your word. Your word will abide forever. Father, I thank you for the power that's in your word. All of the promises of God are yes and amen in the mighty word of God. Father, thank you. The word never fails to accomplish the mission upon which you send it. And tonight, you are on purpose. You are intentional with your word. And so we thank you for using the mighty word to set free, to deliver, to strengthen, to correct, to instruct. Oh, Father, thank you for using the word tonight to impart, to help, to heal. Whatever the need is, your word has the answer. Whatever the question, the answer's in the word. Thank you for the power of the word tonight. Thank you for changing lives through the word, through the power of the holy written word, through the anointing that's in the word. Thank you, Father. We exercise faith in the word of God. If it isn't already on, then we flip on the switch of faith as we prepare to hear your engrafted word. And thank you for the good Holy Ghost tonight. He's our helper. Oh, thank you. Where would we be without him? Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for utterance in the Holy Ghost. Thank you for direction. Whatever the need is for your people, Father, those watching through at some other venue, those in this live service, oh, minister to them through the power of your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Like railroad tracks, Father, lead them to the victory. And we thank you for it. Give you all the glory. Pray, believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. From Hebrews chapter 12 in the New American Standard, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Say that with me, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Say it one more time with me, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. A buddy of mine from college, he was a track star, and he shared with me one time in a critical track meet. He was leading a race, high school, and he's leading a race, and he said that as they came around the last corner, he said, "I made a terrible mistake." And I never was a track person at all. I was a baseball guy, but I knew what he was going to say. The moment he said he made a terrible mistake, and I knew he was a track star, he said I was rounding the last corner, and he said I could hear my competition that was just behind me. And he said, instead of focusing on the finish line, he said, I looked over my shoulder. And he said, somehow or another, it just happened in a moment, like in a flash. He said, I looked over my shoulder, and he said, it was like rigor mortis set in. He said, all of my muscles tensed up. And he said, I fell. He said, I face planted right into the track. And he said, in a moment, all of my competitors whizzed by me, and the race was over. And he said, I never even finished it. And he said, I felt so bad. He said, I lying there, I couldn't even get up. And he said, but after a few moments with my head down, I could hear, you know, people had approached me. He said, I wouldn't get up. He said, but I could hear someone else approaching me. And when I looked out of my, he said, I looked out of my peripheral vision. I could see it's my coach's shoes. It's his track shoes. So I know my coach is there. And he said, my coach said to me, you better stay down, and walked away. And he said that was one of the saddest moments of his life. But he said, you know, sometime after that, he got born again, and Jesus, you know, made everything right for him. But man, he took his eyes off the prize. He took his eyes off the goal. And I don't know what you might be going through. I don't know what you might be facing tonight. I don't know what you might be facing in the next 6 months or a year. But I do know this. The Lord sent me here tonight and told me to tell you to get your eyes back on the Lord. That's my title tonight. Get your eyes back on the Lord. I wonder if you'd help me with that. Say that with me. Get your eyes back on the Lord. Now turn to somebody and tell them. Tell them something. Say, get your eyes back on the Lord. Yeah. So often we start out with our eyes on the Lord, and then like my buddy, he got his eyes off the finish line, he got his eyes off the goal, and when he looked back, it was all over. And so often as believers, that same thing can happen to us. And if you have found yourself frustrated recently in life, frustrated with people, if people just continue to annoy the daylights out of you, you need to be listening tonight. Yeah. Man, if you have found that you're losing patience with people, you're just losing patience with people. What is wrong with people? What is wrong with people? You need to listen tonight. If you have found that your world outlook has changed, like they say, the little boy who rubbed Limburger cheese on his grandpa's upper lip while his grandpa was sleeping. Grandpa was sleeping, the little boy rubbed some Limburger cheese on his grandpa's lip, and the grandpa got up from a nap, and he said, it stinks in here. And the grandpa, he went into the kitchen, and he took a big whiff. It stinks in here, too. And grandpa went out, he opened the front door, went out on the porch, and said, the whole world stinks. And if suddenly the whole world stinks to you, you need to be listening to this message tonight, because God's got a word for you. And you need to get your eyes back on the Lord. You may be frustrated not with other people. You may be frustrated with some problem, some circumstance, some difficulty, something that's tough for you to figure out. Oh, but what is tough for you and I to figure out is no problem for the Lord. I said things that present themselves as problems to you and I, no problem at all to God. I said he's got all power. He's got all knowledge. The Lord has everything you need, and the Bible says if we'll ask him and believe, he'll give us wisdom on top of that. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. So many times in my life, I've faced a problem that I didn't know how to solve. I did not know how to solve a certain problem, but the Lord, whenever I took time to pray and ask the Lord to help me and ask the Lord to direct me, every single time the Lord helped me and gave me wisdom beyond my years, beyond my experience, beyond my ability, beyond my management and supervisory experience, the Lord gave me wisdom beyond all of that. He helped me every single time. And he wants me to tell you, he'll help you if you'll ask him. I said, if you'll ask him and in faith believe him. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but ask in faith without any doubting. Person who doubts shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Oh, but when we come to him on the basis of faith, come to him on the basis of the word, Amen. I said, God will give you wisdom every single time. But we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. And so often we start out with our eyes on him. And then, you know, through circumstance and things of that nature, we get our eyes off of him. And so you might be frustrated with you on tonight. You might be frustrated when you look in the mirror. And maybe you've made a mistake or you failed in some major or minor way. I don't know your story, but I do know this, that if you'll get your eyes back on the Lord, he'll lead you back to the victory. I said he'll put you on the right road and he'll get you back to the victory. Whether your problem is on other people, whether your annoyance is with other people, whether your annoyance is with your problem or whether your annoyance is with yourself or whatever. Sometimes people go through situations where they feel that God has somehow been unfaithful to them. And that's a terrible conclusion to make because I can adjust your theology there. Listen, God has never been unfaithful. He's never been unfaithful to you and anybody else. You say, well, you don't know what happened. I may not know what happened, but I do know this. God is faithful. I wish I had a bigger amen. And whatever, regardless of your experience, regardless of our experience, whatever you think you have experienced, God is faithful. He's a faithful God. And listen, the best thing you can do if you think he's been unfaithful, the best thing you can do is open up your mouth and declare his faithfulness and his goodness over and over and over again. I said, God has never, not one single time, has he ever failed to be faithful. He is, in fact, a faithful God. Faithfulness is his name. He has come through for you in the past. He will come through for you right now. He will be there for you in the future. I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, he's a faithful God. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, at my first defense of the gospel, nobody stood with me. He said, I risked my life for thousands of people. And when it was time for me to stand before Caesar's tribunal, not one person would stand with me. Then he said this, but the Lord stood with me. He said, the Lord stood at my side. And he said, the Lord strengthened me. And he said, the Lord delivered me out of the lion's mouth. And he said, God is faithful. And if you'll hang in there, if you'll hang in there and keep your eyes on the Lord or get your eyes back on the Lord, you'll see it. God is faithful. You know, the Bible says here, verse 2 of Hebrews 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Isn't that the key to it all? The key is not just getting our eyes on Jesus, because so often we start there. We get our eyes over on the Lord and then something happens. And you're weak, or something happens down there on the job, or something happens with one of the kids, or something happens with somebody somewhere, and you wind up with your eyes off the Lord. Anybody ever been there except Brother Bill? And so the key is to fix, it's to focus, it's to plant our eyes on Jesus. And when we fix our eyes on the Lord, oh, I tell you, great things can happen. Great things can happen. And so the Bible says, verse 3, consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We're to keep our eyes on the Lord. We're to remember and fix and focus our eyes on what he has done, on what he has done for us. And if we'll do that, the Lord will lead us to the victory every single time. You know, over in 1 Peter, turn there with me real quick. 1 Peter. The Lord Jesus, he's our example. You see, we fix our eyes on him. We focus on him because he's the example. And when we do what he did, then we'll get the victory. When we see what he saw, we'll get the victory. When we say what he said, we'll get the victory. The Lord Jesus is our example. And if you and I cannot just put our eyes on him, but fix our eyes on him, that means if we'll keep our focus on him, there won't be anything to shake us or move us. You say, well, I'm worried tonight, Brother Bill. Something's got me troubled. Something's got me worried. You know, if you're worried, you've got your eyes off the Lord. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. If you're in fear tonight, something's making you fearful. Something's keeping you from sleeping. You've gotten your eyes off the Lord. Oh, but if you'll get your eyes back on him, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will go strangely dim. Praise God in the light of his glory and grace. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says this, for you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you. Now, what'd he do? Leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. My brother and sister, whatever it is you're facing or whatever it is you're going to face, Christ has left us an example to follow in his steps. So if we'll get our eyes on him and then keep our focus on him, guess what's going to happen? We're going to walk in victory because we'll be seeing and doing the things that Jesus himself said and did. Go with me to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Get your eyes back on the Lord. Get your eyes back on the Lord. The Lord's talking to some people tonight. You've lost your focus. You've moved your focus. Your eyes were on the Lord, but something's happened. It's gotten your eyes off the Lord. Sometimes, you know, a wife can say something or a husband can say something in such a way, and the other partner, were, oh man, if they're not careful, they can get their eyes off the Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so it really doesn't matter what people do, whether even if it's a spouse, if we'll fix our eyes on the Lord, we're going to know the right thing to do and say, all right, Matthew 14. I'm going to start at 21. Matthew 14, verse 21. It says, there were about 5,000 men who ate besides women and children. 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he came up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. What a powerful verse of scripture that, as is obvious and evident, you know, by the reading there, that the point of this story, at least for tonight, is to help us to focus and to keep and to get our eyes back on the Lord. I want to just say this about this verse of scripture, like any verse of scripture. You know, the Bible says as believers, we walk by faith and not by sight, that the just shall live by faith. That's all over scripture, from Habakkuk to Romans to Galatians, the just shall live by faith. Faith is a lifestyle for us as believers. And so these scriptures, these powerful stories that we have of the Lord Jesus should be more than just good reading material. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. The purpose of the word, and as we see Jesus interacting and dealing with people, listen, there are life lessons about faith in each of these stories. There are principles about how to live victorious in these stories. And so the things that they endured on this particular day with the storm, there are key principles here that are written for the instruction of the New Testament believer. And so often, just like the disciples, we read the story and say, oh, that's cute, oh, that's good, oh, wow, you know, Jesus walked on the water and Jesus let Peter walk on the water and they walk back to the boat and that becomes the end of the story. But there's a deeper meaning in this story for you and I. And the scripture says that they failed to recognize, don't go there, but you can write down Mark chapter 6, verse 52. You know what it says there? It says that after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, which really Jesus fed at least 10,000 that night, That was 5,000 men. They didn't count the women and children in those days. So there were at least 10,000 that were fed during that miracle. Mark 6:52 says this. After that miracle, it says the disciples failed to understand the real meaning of that miracle. They failed to learn the lessons from that miracle. In other words, there were faith lessons to be learned. There were things that happened during that time that Jesus wanted them to glean so that they could apply their faith in other situations and scenarios in life. And so out here on the lake in the storm, there were lessons, faith principles that they had heard at church that the Lord wanted them to apply down there on the job. There were things they had heard in the word that God wanted them to be able to apply when they were facing fearful situations. And I tell you, when you're facing tough situations, I tell you, it can throw your focus off real quick. I remember one night, Memphis, Tennessee, and I was working for FedEx, and I was heading out of Memphis, heading to Newark, New Jersey, on a DC-10 loaded with freight. And they rolled that DC-10 down the runway, put that thing in max power, and we took off, and that DC-10 was loaded with freight. And we hadn't been in the air very long, maybe just a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes. That thing was in max throttle, and oh, man, all of a sudden, boom! And that big old DC-10 just shook and started falling out of the sky. And one of the engines had exploded and was on fire, and the captain was trying to get control of the plane, and he overcorrected, and the plane went back the other way, and the computers were going off, pull up, pull up, pull up, terrain, terrain. Oh, man. And I tell you, that night, I'll never forget that. I was praying in a brand new tongue. I didn't lose my focus. That made me focus on the Lord. I was focused on the Lord. Oh, man. They got that plane down. They got that plane down. I was thanking God. I was thanking God, well, I'll live and not die. I will live and not die. Oh, man. And they got that plane down on the ground. And there were two other people jump seating with, I didn't know them. And I never forget, the woman said, we got down there on the tarmac. She said, sir, I heard you praying. I know you're a Christian. She said, I just want to repent of all my sins right now. I want to repent of all my sins. I repent. And she said, me and him, we were going to a place. We were going to do something we had no business doing. I'm not going. I'm not doing it. I'm not going with you. And she said, sir, please, when we get back, if we get on another plane, could I sit next to you? Could I just sit next to you? I said, you can sit next to me. And she lost her focus. That was good. She had lost her focus in the good. It was good that she lost her focus that night. But sometimes when we lose our focus, we become like Peter on the water. We all draw inference to the fact that Peter walked on the water that night in the middle of the storm. Jesus had already given them a word. You know what the word was? He told them to go to the other side. But on their way to the other side, a storm rose up. And that storm is what distracted them. And so often in our life, my brother and sister, there are such distractions. We start off the week maybe walking in faith, maybe singing the Lord's praises, and then some distraction comes, some irritation. Oh, something that sometimes maybe it makes you worry or can put fear in you. If you're not careful, a distraction can get your eyes off of the Lord. And the Bible says that Peter got out of that boat. And as we've read this story many, many times, you know he defied the laws of buoyancy. He got out of the boat. When he told Jesus, if it's really you, let me come on the water, Jesus gave him another word. You know what the word was? Come. And when he got out of that boat, he started walking. He had a rhema word. He had a word from the Lord, and he started walking on the water. And the Bible says he started walking toward the Lord. So his eyes were obviously on Jesus. Now, while he's walking toward the Lord, the Bible says, then he saw the wind. He saw the wind, and he started to sink. It was the wind that distracted him. It was the wind that got him out of faith. And so often, my brother and sister, we start out in faith, but just because we start out in faith doesn't mean that we end up in faith. The key is to stay in faith until we get the victory. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Sometimes we're too easily distracted, and sometimes we break our focus. Something has happened that has got our attention and it breaks our focus, and we let that get our eyes off of Jesus. And if we get our eyes off of Jesus, we'll start to sleep. But he sent me here to tell you tonight, get your eyes back on Jesus. And the thing is, I want to share this. Let me just show you my cards tonight. Let me show you my cards. I'll give you all my points real quick. Here, the first one is you've got to hear the word. I tell you, if you're going to walk in victory, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know, you know, you may not be facing anything tonight. You might be facing something tomorrow morning. You can't see tonight. You might be facing something next week or in the next few months. But let me tell you this, it doesn't matter whether you're facing something now or in the future. Listen, the key is to hear the word. The scripture says that they heard the word. Jesus gave the word. They heard the word. And the key is to hear the word. We've got to expose ourselves to the word, hearing the word. And listen, when we hear the word, we're going to get a promise one of two ways. We're going to get it directly from the written word, or we're going to get it through a rhema word. And whether you get it directly from the word or whether you get it through a rhema word, when you hear the word, you've got to hold on to it. I said, amen. I said, whatever's troubling you, you've got to get the word of God on that subject of whatever might be troubling you. Oh, but if you'll hear the word on that thing, if you'll hear the word on worry, if you'll hear the word on fear, or if you'll hear the word on finances, if you'll hear the word on healing, if you'll hear the word on whatever it is, because the word is alive, the word is active, the word is powerful, the word is anointed. And when we apply faith to the anointed word, oh man, something happens, something changes. So listen, first, hear the word. Second, we've got to act on the word. Peter heard the words of Jesus. What was the word he heard? And the instance of him walking on the water, the word he heard was come. He said, Lord, if it's you, let me walk on the water. And Jesus said, come on, come. He heard a word. Now, when we get a word, we better make sure it's from God. Can it meddle for a second? Listen, we better make sure the word we got is from the Lord. I wish I had a bigger amen. Everybody today got a word from the Lord. Everybody got a word. But we better make sure that word came from God. So how do we do that? First, make sure it lines up with Scripture. Because the Spirit and the Word always agree. Second, listen, follow the inward witness. Romans 8:14 and Romans 8:16. And listen, don't neglect Colossians 3:15-16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the peace of Christ act as your umpire. I said, amen. I said, compare it to the authenticity of Scripture. And then allow God's peace to act as your umpire. But Peter got a word. The word was come. And he got out of the boat on a rhema word. And he defied the laws of buoyancy. And what you think you cannot do, through faith in Jesus, all things are possible. What you think is impossible tonight, through faith in Jesus, all things are possible. And so, hear the word, act on the word. How did he act on the word? He got out of the boat. Third, listen, get your eyes on Jesus. And fourthly, listen, keep the switch of faith turned on. You know, at the end of this story that we read, it says this, that after Jesus and Peter got back in the boat, you know what they did? They worshiped the Lord. They said, you really are the Son of God, and they worshiped him. You know what was wrong with that? They worshiped him after the miracle. They worshiped him after it was done. Oh, but if you're going to walk in victory, you're going to have to learn how to worship the Lord before you ever see the manifestation of the answer. If they had worshiped the Lord while Peter was out there on the water, if they had just said, oh, glory to God, let's worship God. Peter's defying the laws of buoyancy. Let's all get out the boat. Let's all get out this boat. We can all walk on this water. If they had started worshiping the Lord, they would have walked right into the victory. So often we're waiting till we see the miracle, till we see the manifestation. You're waiting till you see a change in your body before you give the Lord worship and praise. Faith don't work like that. We walk by faith, not by sight, which includes feelings and emotions. Oh, my brother and sister. But if we'll learn how to keep the switch of faith turned on, I tell you, God, sometimes what happens is we're almost at the victory. We're almost crossing the line. And then we get distracted and something happens that discourages us and we turn off the switch of faith.
We say, well, it didn't happen. Well, I guess it's not going to happen. Well, I guess, whoa, whoa, whoa. Keep the switch of faith turned on. My brother and sister, hear the word of God, act on the word, get your eyes back on Jesus, and keep the switch of faith turned on. It'll lead you to victory every single time. Father, we've endeavored to share tonight with your people these principles from your word that we are certain you sent us here to share tonight. And Father God, we know that the word applies to everyone differently. And so we trust you. We trust you through your word and through your Holy Spirit to apply the power of your word in every life as it's needed differently with different application. And so some need to hear the word. Some need to have a greater exposure to the word, need to take more time with the word, take more time, get into your presence and read and meditate the word. And then even rhema words will come that way. Father, others need to act on the word. They need to get out of the boat. They need to do what you said. They need to take steps of obedience in the direction of their faith. Oh, Father, someone else has gotten their eyes off of Jesus and they need to get their eyes back on Jesus. And still others here tonight need to keep the switch of faith turned on. And so whatever it is, Father, minister to people by your Holy Spirit. Help and encourage people tonight. Strengthen hearts and faith and lives. And Father, we'll give you all the glory as you lead us to the victory again and again and again. Every head is bowed here, every eye is closed. And if you're here tonight and you need to get right with God, listen, we're not going to take a whole lot of time tonight, but it's important. It's so important. If you're here tonight and you're not living right, you know it. God knows it. The enemy knows it. But you're ready to make it right. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Anybody here tonight like that? You're here tonight. Thank you. I see your hand. God loves you. God doesn't condemn you. The Bible says he upbraideth not. That means he doesn't condemn us. He wants us to be honest, though. If we need his help, then we have to be sincere. Lift your hand. You say, I know I'm not living right, Brother Bill. Would you pray for me? Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Oh, God wants to help you. God wants to help you. And maybe you're here, you never received Jesus, or you may be watching or listening. You maybe you've never received Jesus. You can do that right now tonight. It is so profound, but so simple to receive Jesus. It's just a matter of realizing, really, that God loves you, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've done. God loves you. He loves you just for who you are. And we all have the same problem, that sin has separated us from God. Sin separates us from God. But the blessing is that Jesus died. He gave his life. He suffered and died on the cross. He was crucified as a substitution and payment for our sins. Jesus took our penalty. He paid the price. He paid the penalty for our sins. And all you have to do is believe that Jesus paid the price, and that the Father raised him from the dead. And if you'll believe that, and then pray with us in a moment, you'll receive Jesus as well. Oh, man. You raised your hand in this service, or you should have raised your hand. I want you to do something real bold. I want you just to stand up on your feet. Stand up right up on your feet. Just boldly stand up on your feet. You raised your hand. Stand up on your feet. I want you to come down here. I'm going to do what I said. I want to pray for you in person. Just come right down here and let me pray for you. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. We love you. Come right down here. Don't be ashamed. Praise God. Come right down here. Come on. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Stand right here. Anybody else? Anybody else want to come and join this gentleman? Anybody else want to come? Praise God. Praise God. Well, listen, give me your hand and let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And Father, thank you for this person that you love, that Jesus died for. And Father, thank you for helping him tonight. Thank you, Father God, for being the strength of his life. Hey, say this out loud with me. Father, I come.
Father, I come.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I give you my heart.
I give you my heart.
And I give you my life.
And I give you my life.
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
Of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
And I'll live for you.
And I'll live for you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. This is Reverend Paul. Reverend Paul's going to give you some information and some material. Come on, let's give him a big hand. Don't you appreciate? Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, stand on your feet. Let's pray for our brother. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you, Father God, for the power of the word to change lives. And we thank you for helping this person tonight. We thank you those who are listening through some other venue, for helping them, for those you're saving and touching tonight. Thank you for it, Father. May your power fall on him, the fullness of your Holy Spirit, and whatever is needed tonight, whether health or healing or deliverance, whatever it may be, we thank you for it in demonstration. In Jesus' name, and amen. My friend, the key this week for you is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Hey, no matter what distractions may come to you, whatever it is, keep your eyes on the Lord. He'll lead you to the victory. Don't let people get you to shift your focus. Don't let circumstances get you to shift your focus. Don't let problems get you to shift your focus. If you'll focus in on Jesus and do and say and act like he did, he'll lead you to victory every single time. You be here Wednesday night for the word of the Lord. And until then, you be safe and have a great week. Don't forget, let's pray for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen this week. And we know that God will keep them and refresh them and renew them. You are dismissed, and we'll see you right here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless.